Chapter 16. The beautiful metropolis of America is by no means so clean a city as Boston, but many of its streets have the same characteristics, except that the houses are not quite so fresh-colored, the signboards are not quite so gaudy, the gilded letters not quite so golden, the bricks not quite so red, the stone not quite so white, the blinds and area railings not quite so green, the knobs and plates upon the street doors not quite so bright and twinkling. There are many by streets, almost as neutral in clean colors, and positive in dirty ones, as by streets in London. And there is one quarter, commonly called the Five Points, which, in respect of filth and wretchedness, may be safely backed against Seven Dials, or any other part of famed St. Giles. The great promenade and thoroughfare, as most people know, is Broadway, a wide and bustling street, which, from the Battery Gardens to its opposite termination in a country road, may be 4 miles long. Shall we sit down in an upper floor of the Carlton House Hotel, situated in the best part of this main artery of New York, and when we are tired of looking down upon the life below, sally forth arm in arm, and mingle with the stream? Warm weather. The sun strikes upon our heads at this open window, as though its rays were concentrated through a burning glass. But the day is in its zenith, and the season an unusual one. Was there ever such a sunny street as this Broadway? The pavement stones are polished with the tread of feet until they shine again. The red bricks of the houses might be yet in the dry hot kilns, and the roofs of those omnibuses look as though, if water were poured on them, they would hiss and smoke, and smell like half-quenched fires. No stint of omnibuses here. Half a dozen have gone by within as many minutes. Plenty of hackney cabs and coaches too, gigs, phaetons, large-wheeled tilburies, and private carriages rather of a clumsy make, and not very different from the public vehicles, but built for the heavy roads beyond the city pavement. Negro coachmen and white, in straw hats, black hats, white hats, glazed caps, fur caps, in coats of drab, black, brown, green, blue, nankeen, striped jean and linen, and there, in that one instance, look while it passes, or it will be too late, in suits of livery. Some southern republican that, who puts his blacks in uniform, and swells with sultan pomp and power. Yonder, where that phaeton with the well-clipped pair of greys has stopped standing at their heads now is a Yorkshire groom, who has not been very long in these parts, and looks sorrowfully round for a companion pair of top boots, which he may traverse the city half a year without meeting. Heaven save the ladies, how they dress! We have seen more colors in these 10 minutes than we should have seen elsewhere in as many days. What various parasols! What rainbow silks and satins! What pinking of thin stockings, and pinching of thin shoes, and fluttering of ribbons and silk tassels, and display of rich cloaks with gaudy hoods and linings! The young gentlemen are fond, you see, of turning down their shirt collars and cultivating their whiskers, especially under the chin, but they cannot approach the ladies in their dresser bearing, being, to say the truth, humanity of quite another sort. Byrons of the desk and counter, pass on, and let us see what kind of men those are behind me. Those two laborers in holiday clothes, of whom one carries in his hand a crumpled scrap of paper from which he tries to spell out a hard name, while the other looks about for it on all the doors and windows. Irishmen both. You might know them, if they were unmasked, by their long-tailed blue coats and bright buttons, and their drab trousers, which they wear like men well used to working dresses, who are easy in no others. It would be hard to keep your model republics going, without the countrymen and countrywomen of those two laborers. For who else would dig, and delve, and drudge, and do domestic work, and make canals and roads, and execute great lines of internal improvement? Irishmen both, and sorely puzzled to find out what they seek. Let us go down, and help them, for the love of home, and that spirit of liberty which admits of honest service to honest men, and honest work for honest bread, no matter what it be. That's well. We have got at the right address at last, though it is written in strange characters truly, and might have been scrawled with the blunt handle of the spade the writer better knows the use of, than a pen. Their way lies yonder, but what business takes them there? They carry savings. To hoard up? No. They are brothers, those men. One crossed the sea alone, and working very hard for 1/2 year, and living harder, saved funds enough to bring the other out. That done, they work together side by side, contentedly sharing hard labor and hard living for another term, and then their sisters came, and then another brother, and lastly, their old mother. And what now? Why, the poor old crone is restless in a strange land, and yearns to lay her bones, she says, among her people in the old graveyard at home. And so they go to pay her passage back. And God help her and them, and every simple heart, and all who turn to the Jerusalem of their younger days, and have an altar fire upon the cold hearth of their fathers. This narrow thoroughfare, baking, and blistering in the sun, is Wall Street, the Stock Exchange and Lombard Street of New York. Many a rapid fortune has been made in this street, and many a no less rapid ruin. Some of these very merchants whom you see hanging about here now, have locked up money in their strong boxes, like the man in the Arabian Nights, and opening them again, have found but withered leaves. Below, here by the waterside, where the bowsprits of ships stretch across the footway, and almost thrust themselves into the windows, lie the noble American vessels which having made their packet service the finest in the world. They have brought hither the foreigners who abound in all the streets. Not, perhaps, that there are more here than in other commercial cities, but elsewhere, they have particular haunts, and you must find them out. Here, they pervade the town. We must cross Broadway again, gaining some refreshment from the heat, in the sight of the great blocks of clean ice which are being carried into shops and bar rooms, and the pineapples and watermelons profusely displayed for sale. Fine streets of spacious houses here, you see. Wall Street is furnished, and dismantled many of them very often, and here a deep green leafy square. Be sure that is a hospitable house with inmates, to be affectionately remembered always, where they have the open door, and pretty show of plants within, and where the child with laughing eyes is peeping out of window at the little dog below. You wonder what may be the use of this tall flagstaff in the by street, with something like Liberty's headdress on its top. So do one. But there is a passion for tall flagstaffs hereabout, and you may see its twin brother in 5 minutes, if you have a mind. Again across Broadway, and so passing from the many-colored crowd and glittering shops into another long main street, the Bowery. A railroad yonder, see, where two stout horses trot along, drawing a score or two of people and a great wooden ark, with ease. The stores are poorer here, the passengers less gay. Clothes ready-made, and meat ready-cooked, are to be bought in these parts, and the lively whirl of carriages is exchanged for the deep rumble of carts and wagons. These signs which are so plentiful, in shape like river buoys, or small balloons, hoisted by cords to poles, and dangling there, announce, as you may see by looking up, oysters in every style. Apostrophe they tempt the hungry most at night, for then dull candles glimmering inside, illuminate these dainty words, and make the mouths of idlers water, as they read and linger. What is this dismal fronted pile of bastard Egyptian, like an enchanter's palace in a melodrama? A famous prison, called the Tombs. Shall we go in? So. A long, narrow, lofty building, stove-heated as usual, with 4 galleries, one above the other, going round it, and communicating by stairs. Between the 2 sides of each gallery, and in its center, a bridge, for the greater convenience of crossing. On each of these bridges sits a man, dozing or reading, or talking to an idle companion. On each tier, are 2 opposite rows of small iron doors. They look like furnace doors, but are cold and black, as though the fires within had all gone out. Some 2 or 3 are open, and women, with drooping heads bent down, are talking to the inmates. The hole is lighted by a skylight, but it is fast closed, and from the roof there dangle, limp and drooping, two useless wind sails. A man with keys appears, to show us round. A good-looking fellow, and, in his way, civil and obliging. Are those black doors the cells? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, are they all full? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, they're pretty nigh full, and that's a fact, and no two ways about it. Apostrophe, those at the bottom are unwholesome, surely? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, we do only put colored people in them. That's the truth. Apostrophe, when do the prisoners take exercise? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, they do without it pretty much. Apostrophe, do they never walk in the yard? Apostrophe, apostrophe, considerable seldom. Apostrophe, sometimes, I suppose. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, it's rare they do. They keep pretty bright without it. Apostrophe, but suppose a man were here for a 12-month. I know this is only a prison for criminals who are charged with grave offenses, while they are awaiting their trial, or under remand, but the law here affords criminals many means of delay. What with motions for new trials, and in arrest of judgment, and what not, a prisoner might be here for 12 months, I take it, might he not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, I guess he might. Apostrophe, do you mean to say that in all that time he would never come out at that little iron door, for exercise? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he might walk some, perhaps not much. Apostrophe, will you open one of the doors? Apostrophe, apostrophe, all, if you like. Apostrophe, the fastenings jar and rattle, and one of the doors turns slowly on its hinges. Let us look in. A small bare cell, into which the light enters through a high chink in the wall. There is a rude means of washing, a table, and a bedstead. Upon the latter, sits a man of 60, reading. He looks up for a moment, gives an impatient, dogged shake, and fixes his eyes upon his book again. As we withdraw our heads, the door closes on him, and is fastened as before. This man has murdered his wife, and will probably be hanged. How long has he been here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, a month. Apostrophe, when will he be tried? Apostrophe, apostrophe, next term. Apostrophe, when is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, next month. Apostrophe, in England, if a man be under sentence of death, even he has air and exercise at certain periods of the day. Apostrophe, possible? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with what stupendous and untranslatable coolness he says this, and how loungingly he leads on to the women's side, making, as he goes, a kind of iron castanet of the key and the stair rail. Each cell door on this side has a square aperture in it. Some of the women peep anxiously through it at the sound of footsteps. Others shrink away in shame. For what offense can that lonely child, of 10 or 12 years old, be shut up here? Oh, that boy? He is the son of the prisoner we saw just now, is a witness against his father, and is detained here for safekeeping, until the trial, that's all. But it is a dreadful place for the child, to pass the long days and nights in. This is rather hard treatment for a young witness, is it not? What says our conductor? Well, it and a very rowdy life, and that's a fact. Apostrophe, apostrophe, again he clinks his metal castanet, and leads us leisurely away. I have a question, to ask him as we go. Pray, why do they call this place the Tombs? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, it's the cant name. Apostrophe, I know it is. Why? Apostrophe, some suicides happened here, when it was first built. I expect it come about from that. Apostrophe, I saw just now, that man's clothes were scattered about the floor of his cell. Don't you oblige the prisoners to be orderly, and put such things away? Apostrophe, apostrophe, where should they put them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not on the ground surely. What do you say to hanging them up? Apostrophe, he stops, and looks round to emphasize his answer. Why, I say that's just it. When they had hooks they would hang themselves, So they're taken out of every cell, and there's only the marks left, where they used to be. Apostrophe apostrophe, the prison yard in which he pauses now, has been the scene of terrible performances. Into this narrow, grave-like place, men are brought out to die. The wretched creature stands beneath the gibbet on the ground, the rope about his neck, and when the sign is given, a weight at its other end comes running down, and swings him up into the air a corpse. The law requires that there be present at this dismal spectacle, the judge, the jury, and citizens to the amount of 25. From the community it is hidden. To the dissolute and bad, the thing remains a frightful mystery. Between the criminal and them, the prison wall is interposed as a thick gloomy veil. It is the curtain to his bed of death, his winding sheet, and grave. From him it shuts out life, and all the motives to unrepenting hardihood in that last hour, which its mere sight and presence is often all sufficient to sustain. There are no bold eyes to make him bold, no ruffians to uphold a ruffian's name before. All beyond the pitiless stone wall is unknown space. Let us go forth again into the cheerful streets. Once more in Broadway. Here are the same ladies in bright colors, walking to and fro, in pairs and singly, yonder the very same light blue parasol which passed and repassed the hotel window 20 times while we were sitting there. We are going to cross here. Take care of the pigs. 2 portly sows are trotting up behind this carriage, and a select party of half a dozen gentlemen hawks have just now turned the corner. Here is a solitary swine lounging homeward by himself. He has only Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.